We welcome you. I'm Maureen, your chairperson for today, and we welcome you to the Arizona Area Turbocharge Your Recovery Workshop. So this workshop is hosted by the Arizona Area of Al-Anon, and our intention is to help members take their recovery to the next level, or at least up a notch. So we'll open with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And if you'd like, you can unmute and join me. Thank you. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
So we will be meeting for an hour and a half, and we'll have three speakers on the topic, Discovering My Natural Treasures, Tradition 7, followed by a Q&A session. So please know this session is recorded, audio only, and we ask that no names or identifiable personal information be shared.
Aloha, GW from New Orleans.
Great, go ahead. Thank you.
The Al-Anon Family Groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution. Does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. Thanks for letting me read.
Thank you. And now we need someone to volunteer to unmute and read the workshop opening.
Maureen, this is Anne. I'll be glad to read it.
Thank you, Anne. Please go ahead.
Okay. Although some service roles have titles and job descriptions that might intimidate some, the people who fill these roles have endured the problems of alcoholism just as we have. Yet they are proof that Al-Anon is a program of self-discovery and personal growth. Participating in service projects with them can be an inspiring opportunity to get to know them at a different level and to learn that we also have a great potential for personal growth. Probably most everyone was at least a little reluctant to take on a first service project or position. We are often unsure of our abilities and afraid of the commitment. If we haven't yet engaged in service, it's easy to think of all the reasons in the world why we shouldn't. However, the magic of Al-Anon service lies in benefits that we cannot anticipate before we've actually done any service. Those of us involved in service are grateful because it will boost our self-confidence and self-esteem, which some of us experience as an unanticipated miracle. That's why many of us look back at our early service work and consider it as a gift from our higher power. Members who haven't yet participated in service can't yet imagine feeling this way. Often those of us affected by alcoholism have a tendency to isolate ourselves from others. We may be afraid to, or unwilling to request help. Recovery in Al-Anon is all about reaching out for help, and service is no exception. If our sponsor is active in service, we can ask for assistance. If not, we may wish to find a service sponsor who can guide us. By asking for help in service, we again move towards healthy relationships and away from the outdated thinking that tells us we have to do everything on our own. No one has to do it alone. Al-Anon service is a team effort working for a shared spiritual purpose. As our self-esteem increases from the growth we experience in service, we are better able to take home our renewed feelings of confidence and be better partners in all of our relationships. We also discover that we are capable of learning healthy forms of conflict resolution, which we can also apply in our other relationships. It's impossible to think ourselves into recovery. We have to take action to learn and experience different behaviors. Through our willingness to participate in service, we open ourselves up to new growth and the opportunity to learn new interpersonal skills. This will help us build healthy relationships both inside and outside the fellowship. And this comes from Discovering Choices, pages 244 and 245, copyright Al-Anon Family Groups, Headquarters Incorporated, 2008.
Okay, thank you so much for doing that, Anne. I appreciate it. The next reading we need a volunteer for is the September reading, and this is on Tradition 7. Would someone be willing to unmute and read for us today?
I'll go ahead. My name is Beatriz.
Thank you.
Welcome. September reading, Tradition 7. Every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. My efforts to share the program have been kept clearer and simpler through the universal observance of Tradition 7. I've never encountered an Al-Anon group that accepted financial contributions from outsiders. As a result, I've never heard a discussion in which any individual or group was mentioned as contributing to the well-being of any Al-Anon group. I've always felt certain that the funds available for any group's 12 steps activities were contributed by group members and that my participation in Al-Anon service was funded only by group donations. I've always understood that we depended on one another to be self-supporting. I've felt my own self-esteem and confidence grow as I've spent time functioning in a group that supports its own efforts. I take satisfaction in observing that our contributions enable us to rent the room where we meet, to purchase the literature we display, and to support the services of Al-Anon in our district, our area, and around the world. In service, I've begun to see more clearly where our contributions go. As treasurer, I have written the checks for our materials and for 12-step work. As information service volunteer, I've seen the office from which our district responds to 12-step calls. As secretary, I've seen the newsletters and information we receive from our area and world service. The group's willingness to observe the seventh tradition has literally made it possible for me to participate in service and to take pride in our contribution to recovery here and around the world. I feel a great debt of gratitude to all Al-Anon members who have kept our fellowship self-supporting over the years. In service, I've not only benefited from the responsible and continuous practice of the seventh tradition, but I've also come to a wider understanding of its implications. While being fully self-supporting begins with declining outside contributions, it doesn't end there. Without the willingness to contribute time and energy as well, we can't succeed in observing the spirit of this tradition. A group without trusted servants couldn't really be thought of as self-supporting. In service, then, I've realized a new dimension to being self-supporting. My group survives not only through its members' financial contributions, but also through their contributions of time and energy. In reference to Tradition 7, our concept of obedience to the unenforceable encourages me to step forward and learn a lesson in fuller participation and greater self-esteem. Participation in a group whose ideal is to be fully self-supporting carries over into other areas of my life. While it's an understatement bordering on the laughable, it's nevertheless true that alcoholism has not been kind in providing me with friends and family willing and able to be fully self-supporting. Even those with plenty of money have been hard-pressed to function responsibly. My Al-Anon service experience has encouraged me to learn more fully what it means to care for myself, not just financially, but physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It has also taught me that while I can contribute to a group's well-being, I must also look to others in the group to take part. From when I got busy, I got better. Thank you, Paz.
Okay, thank you for being of service by reading today, you guys. I appreciate that. So each of our three panelists will share for 15 minutes, and the rest of the time will be used for your questions and possibly brief shares. Remember, any sharings are solely the opinion of the member and not the Arizona area or Al-Anon as a whole. So today I'd like to introduce our first speaker, and her name is Elizabeth, and she's currently group record secretary of the Arizona area. Elizabeth, if you'd go ahead and unmute and share, we'd appreciate that.
Thanks, Maureen. Can hear me okay? Put my earbuds in and I sound different to me when with those in, and it's a very strange feeling.
Yes.
So I wanted to thank you for inviting me to share, and I made some notes. I am not normally nervous when I speak, and today, for some reason, I am. So I actually have some notes to kind of help me with that, because I noticed yesterday that I was nervous about today, which is really unusual. So I am currently the group record secretary for the area. This is the most recent of a string of service positions. And I just wanted to, I want to share based on the reading what my experience has been, you know, with Tradition 7 in service. And it's, that might be why I'm nervous. It was kind of challenging for me to hook those things together. But the reading that Beatrice just read for Tradition 7 talks about the results of being fully self-supporting as a group. Benefits like having a meeting place, being able to purchase literature, feeling confident that your meeting will continue because you have the financial support. It also talks about non-monetary benefits, like knowing that the meeting will be there, knowing that the service positions will be filled and that tasks will be done thanks to also member contributions of time and energy. And it also mentioned obedience to the unenforceable, because the seventh tradition is not enforceable. It's not a rule that must be followed. Individual contributions of time, energy, or money, none of them are regulated. So there are tangible and intangible benefits that are gained by voluntary compliance with the ideas of Al-Anon. And I just think that that's been really important to me. In my life in the family disease of alcoholism, I have followed a lot of rules, whether I liked it or not, and because they were, or at least seemed to be, enforceable. So one of my biggest overall gains from Al-Anon service is the understanding that my voluntary contribution to any undertaking in my life, but starting with Al-Anon, has a true meaning beyond this is what I'm supposed to do. Because I still struggle with, I do things because I'm supposed to. And it's not necessarily how it looks or what somebody else thinks of me. I will just have some imaginary rule in my head that I'm following. And Al-Anon has shown me that I just don't have to live that way if I can notice that I'm doing it. So for me, really, that's very huge, because I tie myself up in a lot of knots with that. And it limits me greatly when I'm following rules that don't really exist, or feeling like I'm going to be in trouble for not following rules that don't exist. So that's been the overarching biggest thing that I've received in Al-Anon service. I always think going into a service position that I have enough experience to be able to do the position perfectly and not have issues and not have problems. And I have never been right yet about that, but I always go in with that that level of, oh, this will be fine. This is because I always pick the service jobs that look easy to me. And I don't not recommend that. I think that's a fairly reasonable approach, because they're usually not easy, but things that I feel safe trying, or feels things that I feel like I can at least be moderately successful, or not make a great giant flaming idiot out of myself, which still has not turned out to be true, but it's not a bad basis for going in. Otherwise, I do seize up and I say, oh man, I could never do that. I don't want all those people. I used to watch, I used to go to assemblies and see the table with the officers and think, I would never, ever want to sit up there. So now, so far, I haven't, because I stepped up to this position right when COVID hit. And so I've not been to an in-person assembly as an officer. But it was one of my, I don't think I'm ever going to want to do that things. And here I am in a position where next assembly, I will be doing that. So I just wanted to give kind of like a little of my service history. The first service position I ever took was literature coordinator because it really looked invisible. I never saw the literature coordinator. I never knew who that person was. So great. It was an invisible job that I could do. It was important. I loved the literature. And especially when I was new, I bought every book. I read it. I carried them around so I could refer to them if I had some random thought. The literature was really important to me. And I said, okay, I can do that position. And the information I received about how to do that position was the previous literature person stood with me one day and she said, here's the books that we usually get because these are the ones that are purchased the most and the rest is up to you. And, you know, I read literature and I read stories and I hear people speak about, you know, getting help with service and people saying, oh, we'll do it with you. You're not alone. I felt alone. and it felt like a lot of huge responsibility. What do you mean? I get to just pick the books. And I tried to have spreadsheets and figure it out and do it perfectly. And then I realized I can just buy what we're missing. I can just buy what we're short on. If we usually have five and there's only one, I can buy four. And I worked out an agreement with the treasurer at the time. She would give me the literature money from the budget, and I would go and buy literature and bring her the receipt and any leftover money. And that worked great for us. And I had no idea that I was supposed to be at the group conscience meetings, and so I pretty much wasn't. And I figured out that I was supposed to do that, and so I went to one. And at that meeting, the group representative said, who is that person? We really need to find out who that is, because I have no idea what's going on with the literature. And the treasurer was sitting next to me, and she said, she's right here. But I felt like, oh, I'm doing it wrong. You know, I wasn't doing it wrong. There was literature on the table. I had agreement with the treasurer. I may not have been doing it 100% the way some other people thought I should be doing it, but I wasn't doing it wrong. So in a different group a little later, I had the feeling that I should be group secretary because I'm good at that. I used to actually be a secretary when they were called secretary. So I do good notes and meeting minutes, and it's easy for me. And again, I never saw the secretary really do much beyond that in a group. So still kind of a secret, you know, a quiet background kind of position, not out front. And but I had learned that I'm supposed to be at the business meetings. And in my mind, there was also the rule that I had to be at every single meeting. I had to be at every single meeting, no matter what, if I was the group secretary. And I just didn't think I could do that. I traveled a lot for my job, and there were going to be days that I missed. So I said, well, I better make sure that that's really the requirement. And I got out and I read the service manual, and I read in Paths to Recovery, and I read in How Al-Anon Works, and I couldn't find anything that said I had to be there for every single meeting. So I didn't find the loophole that was required for me to get out of doing that particular service. So I was the group secretary. And I enjoyed it. And then somebody else was secretary, and then I was secretary again. I had a meeting that we didn't necessarily, the positions rotated, but they didn't rotate among the whole group, because there were some people who would do service and some people who wouldn't. So there would be six people that we were rotating three positions in, and you know, it's unfortunate, you know, that sometimes does happen. It's one of the things that I have found is it's very challenging to encourage people to do service. They probably, though, I have found, talking with other individuals, they probably have imaginary rules in their head that they think is what has to happen when they do a service position. And it's really just not the case. So then I said, okay, I guess I'll step up to GR. And I had a friend in the meeting who said he wanted to be my alternate. He said, I want to be your alternate GR so we can kind of figure it out together, but you're the GR and not me. And I said, okay. And on the day that we did the elections for that, I was out of town and he took the GR job. And then I was alternate GR. And then within 6 months, he stopped attending Al-Anon altogether, and I ended up being the GR. So there, my very first area position, I stepped in late. And that ended up being true for my area service, like often, not just this panel, often, where I came in after the first year or after the second year and stepped into a position. And there are some challenges with that because you don't start out with all the other people that are starting out. But there are advantages because when you do start out, all the other people have gone through that beginning thing. And if you have gained the ability to talk to other people about what you're thinking about the position, which I did gain, not that first time, but the next time, they can be very helpful. You know, we don't have to do things alone. I started to discover that when I reached area service. Because it was an area level service when I came to assemblies and later when I came to AWSCs, that I found people who cared about Al-Anon the same way that I cared about Al-Anon. Because some of the motivation for me to do Al-Anon service is Al-Anon saved my life. I'm going to get all emotional on you. Al-Anon saved my life, literally. Working this program saved my life. And it changed it beyond recognition. You know, I'm not living the life today that's anything like the life I was living before. And I want that to be there. I want that to be there for other people who suffer the way that I did suffer. And I want it to continue to be there so that I don't, on my own, backslide into that, because I don't think I would survive it a second time. So it's really important to me to keep Al-Anon going. And I don't start out with a lot of ideals about what that perfectly looks like. You know, it just looks like, okay, I show up and I do crap that I probably don't want to do. And I listen to people when I don't want to. And so early assemblies for me were a lot of, I was just sitting there going, oh my God, I am definitely being of service sitting in this meeting. Oh my God. Who are these people? Why does everybody have an opinion? Really, people? Obviously, the right answer is right over there. You know, and initially, that's what service was like for me. And I would think, I don't know about self-supporting. When I look back and I think about what service was like for me initially, you know, it didn't feel self-supporting in any way. And it felt, but I did feel like I was supporting Al-Anon. I was either supporting my group or I was supporting Al-Anon. The previous GR at that meeting called me one day and yelled at me for 10 minutes about how I was not doing it right, that the meeting was falling apart because of me, and that I needed to decide whether I was going to actually do the job or not, because I just wasn't doing it the way that she thought it should be done, because she had some invisible rules in her head. But that was not something that I found loving and supportive at the time. Actually, I still kind of don't feel that it was. But I have better understanding of it today, that there's a fear sometimes. If somebody does it wrong, or if I do it wrong, Al-Anon will cease to exist and my life will go insane again. And I think sometimes we get really caught up. I have seen, and I know that I sometimes do, I'm so worried about Al-Anon continuing and flourishing that I get in a rule. I get in the rules. You know, it has to be like this and it has to be like that. And it doesn't. The traditions are very general and they're that way for a reason. You know, every group must be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. We don't ask a church to step in and teach us about God. We don't ask a millionaire to give us money. I think AA tried that and it didn't work anyway. But we don't do those things. We do it through our own efforts. And while I was getting ready to share, when I was thinking about this, I was like, Al-Anon's been going on for a very long time now, and we've done it all with people putting in a dollar or nothing or $5, you know, people sharing what they have and only what they have. You know, we're not taking out loans as Al-Anon, you know, groups. We're not taking a payday loan to pay the rent. You know, none of those things are happening in Al-Anon. And we're still going, and we're still going pretty strongly. So I find that hugely encouraging. And in my life, I did start to realize that fully self-supporting did mean beyond financial, because to me personally, it always was financial. I pay all of my bills. I have a place to live. I have the medical care that I need. I can drive, you know, I've got a car, a vehicle that I can keep registered and insured, and I'm fully self-supporting. And then I started one day looking at the physical cost to me of being financially self-supporting and the emotional cost to me, because I'm in a very high paying but also extremely stressful job. And so was I really being fully self-supporting? Because I was earning my income at my own expense, physical, mental, emotional expense. So you know, I started making some changes there to try and get a better work-life balance, to take better care of myself. I'm still on that journey. It's not easy at all, but I'm still kind of working with that. There were some questions that they sent to us as speakers, and I just wanted to kind of say some things about those. Did my service experience meet or exceed my expectations? So in the beginning, I had no expectations, so none of that happened. As I've come to understand how service works in my life and the unexpected results, because that's always the case, I'll think, I'm going to go do this job and then I'll get better at X. And then the job happens and I actually get better at Y as well as X. You know, like I think I'm going to learn about leaks of service by being the group records secretary, and I'll learn all the computer part and I'll learn how everything interacts. And what I end up learning because of my participation in service, and what I end up learning is conflict resolution and a lot about concepts that I didn't expect. And then the concepts somehow apply in my personal life in ways that I never would have dreamed of, because concepts are boring, right? Dry, can be, always were to me. I actually actively avoided concepts for a very long time. And I'm so glad that they are being discussed more broadly in Al-Anon.
1 minute.
The principles, one minute. Okay. Which principles of Al-Anon grew in you most through the challenges in service? And I just have to say that the biggest thing that has come to me through all of these experiences with the attitude that I started with was respect. I have learned how to behave towards others and give others the respect that they deserve as ordinary human beings. I've learned how to listen to someone else's contribution without thinking about how to override it. I have learned how to just accept that there aren't rules, and that just because you aren't doing the way that I would do it doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong. And it also doesn't mean that I'm doing it wrong. So it's an awesome journey. I've never learned what I expected to learn, but I have always learned, and I have grown in ways that I might not have wanted to grow, but I've always grown. So thank you for letting me share.
Great job, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
And can we give her a big round of applause with the jazz hands?
Thanks, Elizabeth. Great. Good job.
Thank you. So our next speaker is Susan Kay, and one of her favorite service positions is sponsoring. So Susan, if you'd like to unmute and share with us what your experience, strength, and hope today. Thank you.
Sure. Hi. Thanks, Maureen. Thanks, Elizabeth. You stole many of my lines, so people are going to hear it again. I'm Susan. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon, and I'm honored to be here today. I felt it's so interesting because I don't get nervous speaking either, which might sound strange, but for me, it's not. I love to talk, so I don't have a problem. And I don't have a problem, usually I have a problem talking, but I was getting ready for this today. And I started feeling these weird, I was like, oh, you know what? I actually wrote things down. I mean, I have a list here. I've never written anything. I don't write. I just, you know, it's just in me, and I let God talk, and there you go. So I don't know. We'll have to see how this goes. But when I first started Al-Anon, in my very first, well, first of all, I want to talk about Tradition 7. Every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. This is, interestingly enough, this is one of my favorite traditions, because this tradition taught me how to live my life. And most of the time when you look at that, the first implication is finances, and the group needs to be self-supporting in that. But as I got on in my program, I realized, no, that's not just finances. I need to be self-supporting emotionally. I need to be self-supporting spiritually. I need to quit expecting the people in my life to take care of me emotionally and spiritually. I need to, it was much more than just the physical things in my life. I didn't know how to take care of myself. I thought that I did, but I didn't. I knew how to take care of you, and I could take care of everybody else, but I didn't know how to take care of me. And so this gave me permission to do that, to be fully self-supporting and declining outside contributions. That means you have to do it, Susan. You can't expect your husband or your kids or anyone else. And the other thing, when I was reading that, I find it to be in Al-Anon a kind of the holy grail, so to speak, that keeps it pure, that keeps Al-Anon pure. If we have a group that's not self-supporting, and there's one person running the show, or two people running the show, or they're out of balance, it's not healthy. And it's not healthy, it's not a healthy example either. And I don't know about you, but I need all the healthy examples I can get. I am very good at dysfunction. I've lived in it pretty much my whole life until I came into here. When you have one person running the show, or a couple of people dominating, I recently had an experience with a meeting that I cared about very much, but I started to realize I was the only one doing something at this meeting. And I finally realized, you know what, I need to back off. And that meeting since that time, I hope it survives, but it's really dwindled a lot. And it's really shown me the importance, because if you have people that are attending meetings and they're not involved in the meeting, they're not supporting the meeting, you know, are they really in Al-Anon? You know, are they really doing the program? You know, I personally don't think they are. I don't think they're getting as much out of Al-Anon as what they could. And anytime something is out of balance, and for someone like me who's a type A and, oh, I'll do it type of person, I need to let other people do it, because then I get no, I'm not supposed to be doing everything. I'm used to taking on more than what I can handle. That's not good for me, but I'm comfortable with that, because that's what I was like before I started Al-Anon. It's like, oh, this hurts doing all this stuff. Oh, just don't pay attention to it. Just muscle your way through. So it really helps as far as learning balance. That's what I'm trying to say, balance. It helps in learning balance as far as being self-supporting, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your group, no matter what it is, it's for everybody to show up and to be self-supporting. I was thinking about the first time, my first service position, and I moved here from another state, and I lived very close to the meeting. I just lived like half a block away, like within walking distance. And every meeting, they would say, would anybody like to take the key? Would anybody like to take the key? And I thought, well, I will. I'll take the key. I just live right down here. And then if they get locked out, I can be the backup to help. So I get up in this meeting. I get up in the meeting and I take the key, and everybody's going, yay, yay, she took the key. And I'm going, I'm just unlocking the door. What's the big deal? They're like, oh, Susan, we're so glad you're going to be coordinating our beginner meetings now. And what the key was to come an hour early and set up the beginner meetings before the meeting. And I'm just like, oh, what? After all that applause, what can you do, right? I'm like, oh, okay. You talk about being baptized in fire. So it was such a, you know, you could see my higher power at work here. So I get there the next week and I pull out all the stuff. And guess what? Lightning, I'm like, it just hit me. I know more than the beginners. You know, and that's it. All you have to do is, even if you've just been to one more meeting than somebody else, you already know more than they do. And so they would come in there and they would be scared. And so, and it was amazing, the stuff that would come out of my mouth that I couldn't believe that I, you know, when you sit and you listen and you listen to this stuff and then you don't give it away, it dies. It's like keeping it alive. And I was amazed at how much that I knew and what I said. And I was also amazed at how much I learned from these people and that connection, the connection that I got from that. So that was my first service position by default. Then, I went on to do other things. And one of the things that that has always amazed me about service is I was always afraid of doing it wrong. And I really admire Elizabeth, for if I had gotten a call like that from a GR, I don't think I would, I know I would not have gone on. And I admire anybody who does, because I was waiting for that call. I was sitting by the phone waiting for somebody to tell me, you're doing this all wrong. And I was amazed. I was a literature chairperson on a service board in another state. And I remember one time I didn't have a report for some reason, something was going on in my life. And they go, okay, let's move on. I'm like, wait a minute, did you hear me? I said, I don't have a report. And they're like, that's okay. I'm like, okay. That was so strange to me. And what I learned from that what I did was enough. And I'd never been in an environment like that in my life. What do you mean it's enough? No, it's not enough. You have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, and then it'll be enough. It's like, no, not service in Al-Anon. Whatever you do in Al-Anon, whatever you put as much into it or not into it, as you know, as you just, you decide. And it's very, probably one of the biggest things that's done for me overall and for my self-esteem and how it's helped me grow. That's why I think, how does service help you grow? And I've been thinking about that. And I'm thinking that, you know, the stuff that I'm doing in service is not that hard. I mean, especially in the beginning, I mean, you're putting away chairs, you're passing out literature. I mean, you know, why is just doing a little bit of service, you know, such an important thing? And then I realized it's because when I'm out there in the quote unquote world, and I'm in the work world or whatever I'm doing, I'm wearing that hat. I'm wearing the professional hat. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But when I come into Al-Anon, there are no hats. There's just me. So it's stripping away what I do and what I have to show up as myself. And, you know, for somebody who spent their whole life trying to cover myself up, what it did was that's how it built my self-esteem, because I was showing up as me and it taught me how to be me. I just like what the previous speaker had said, I was never going to be a sponsor. I could never do that. I was never going to do any of the things that I've done. And everything that I've done, I was in over my head. And I was the same way. And it's like, and the reason is just because nobody is going to tell you. They'll guide you, but nobody's going to tell you how to do it, because it has to be your deal. And when you do enough things in your life that are just your deal and you put your way, you grow and you find out you can do so much more than what you thought you could do. And when I first became a DR, and I was just like, you are nuts, Susan. What have you done? You don't know how to do this. And I went to the first meeting with, and Claudia, our delegate, was there, and she saved my life. She said, you know, how many people are in over their head? And I have both of my hands raised. And she's like, good, then you're right, you know, then you're in the right place. First year, you're in over your head. The second year, you're starting to learn it. The third year, you got it down pat, now you're done. And I thought, oh my gosh. So it's normal to feel this way. It's normal to feel like, I'm not really sure how to do this. And it's not only is it normal, but it's the beauty of Al-Anon, because it's forcing me to work a muscle I've never worked before. I've always followed guidelines. I've always followed, okay, Susan, this is your job and this is what you need to do. Okay, this is what I'll do. Not in Al-Anon. It's up to you. You get to do it. And that's why, that's the biggest thing I've never, I would have never, and I also feel this program has changed my life, and it's very important to me that it continues and that other people that are new get the same opportunities that I got. And I try to write people checks, you know, give them money. Thank you for spending so much time with me. You know, I would be like, I would be so grateful. I didn't understand this unconditional love and support that this program has. And, you know, it's important for me, you know, to have it continue. How much time do I have left, Maureen? Okay. Oh, I got 3 minutes. You know, okay. All right.
Closer to four.
Oh, okay. I got, that's good. I got 4 minutes. Well, the other thing that it did was in learning, you know, learning how to do these things. And it taught me to stop judging myself so harshly. I'll never forget one time when I was fairly new, and I had been invited to a breakfast before a meeting, and I had RSVP'd. And I overslept and I didn't make it to this function after I told this woman that I would. And I was so upset about it. My daughter, who was in high school at the time, still remembers it today. And I flew out of the house in the panic because, see, I had RSVP'd. And when you RSVP, you have to go. You can't do that. Oh, I had RSVP'd, and I went up to her, and I'm just like, shame, and oh, you're just an awful person. And I said, I'm so sorry, I RSVP'd and I didn't come. And she took my hands and she looked at me in my eyes and she said, that's okay. You must have needed the sleep. I'm like, what? And that's Al-Anon. It's okay. Who we are, where we're at, and what we do, it's okay, and it's what we need, and it's where we need to be, and that being around those kind of people and learning this kind of a lifestyle, we have a gift. We have a world out there that's hurting tremendously because of the events of these past couple of years, and it's important that we don't get too isolated on Zoom and in our meetings and in our life, that we don't forget about the rest of the world. And not that we have to save everybody, but just do what we can. And that's why I'm here today too. So anyway, that's all I have. I'm done. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Susan. Good job.
Yes, give her a round of applause. Excellent. And by the way, I forgot to remind you guys to make sure you send your questions to Floanne, our moderator, and make sure you let her know who the question's for, if it's for everyone or just one particular speaker. All right, great. So now I'm going to introduce the last speaker. Rick comes to us today from Florida. If you want to go ahead and unmute, thanks for being here.
Hi, everybody. And you're going to see that I have, there are two Ricks. And I explained at the beginning, I'm having an unstable connection. That was the story of my life before I got here. And God continues to send fun things for me to overcome. When I was thinking about speaking today and the idea of natural treasures and the seventh tradition, I was thinking about how before I came to Al-Anon, I didn't feel like there was anything good about me. And when I came to Al-Anon, you kept telling me you can do these things. Now, when I came into the program, we didn't say who would like to be. We said, come, help me do this. And my first service job was washing ashtrays. So you know how long ago that was. And our group used to do refreshments. And they never asked me to do coffee because no one would drink it. But we could bring sweets. And so again, I could bring cookies or I could bring whatever, and I was doing my part. I could help put up chairs. I could do a lot of different things that I didn't really understand were part of being service, because that's who Rick was. I was always taking care of everybody else and not taking care of me. So when you said to me, it's time for you to be the intergroup representative, which is similar to the information service representative, I said, I don't know how to do that. And you said, it's okay, and we'll show you. And members of the group agreed to meet me at the meeting, and they went with me for two different months. And the third month, they said, we'll see you there, and they didn't show up. But by that time, I knew the other people in the meeting. And I learned what my job was by listening and looking around. When I brought the information back to the group always said, thank you. Nobody was tapping their watch to see how long is this going to be. I want to get into sharing. And after that time ended, they said, now it's time for you to be the group representative. And each time that I took a new job, I learned more things about myself. I learned that I could speak, but I didn't have to be right. I learned that I could give you my opinion and then shut up. And that I didn't have to hold you down until you submitted and agreed that I was right. I was thinking, as the other speakers were speaking, that one of the ways of self-support that I've learned in Al-Anon is to stop trying to support everybody else. That's what the first step tells me. I'm powerless over them. I can't make them be what I want them to be. And I've also noticed over the years, some of us recognize that we're powerless over the alcoholic, and we finally get that. So we decide to try to control the group. Well, that's just another opportunity to learn. And I was talking to someone yesterday on the phone, and we were talking about how the alcoholic in their life wasn't behaving a certain way and how they kept doing certain things. And I said, well, this is the first step. Go back to the first step. Every time you want to make that person do something, go to the read the first step. So every time that you're tempted to intervene, go read the first step. And they said, oh, you see, the program, in terms of being self-supporting, teaches me that you can't make me who I want to be. You can't make me feel loved if I don't love myself. You can't make me understand how something works if I'm not willing to listen. And it really was in service activities that I learned. I learned at assemblies how to fight fairly. You say, what? Well, somebody would make a motion, somebody would second it, and then different groups would line up at the mics and they would speak pros and cons and pros and cons. And people would be really passionate about their views. But you know what happened? After we cut the debate and voted, everybody held hands, said the serenity prayer, hugged, and then the people who had been fighting on different sides went out for dinner. And it was like, I never saw that in my family before. So what I learned from that is I could say what I needed to say, and as I said earlier, and then shut up. You gave me tools that I learned, like in the conflict resolution. It says that one of the very first things to do when you're in conflict is stop talking. I thought over and over and over that I had to prove that maybe you didn't hear me. And it tells us on page 29 in Courage to Change, I can tell you once, if I think you didn't hear me, I can tell you a second time. If I tell you the third time, I'm trying to control the situation. And so I learned that in service as well, that if someone is hammering and hammering and hammering their point of view, it's about them. And I need to love them as where they are, not where I want them to be. And service has helped me in that regard, learn to recognize that I don't have all the answers. I don't know what's best for every person, but I know what's best for me. And I said in the meeting Thursday night, every time I hear someone say, there are no rules in Al-Anon, they usually get ready to break one. But Lois said, there are no rules in Al-Anon, but there are a lot of you really ought to. And that's where the seventh tradition comes in. It says we decline outside contributions. If we accepted outside contributions, we make Al-Anon something other than what it is. And so could we? Yeah. Should we? Probably not. So it's the understanding of everybody gets to make their own decisions, but I have to remember that when I'm making a decision, and this is one of the other traditions, I have to take in consideration other Al-Anons, AA, and me. So it isn't just me. I have to look at how that impacts everyone else. And the same thing in my family. You taught me that what I can learn in service, I can bring home. In Al-Anon, I was taught in service to ask for help. So if I wasn't going to be at a meeting that I was supposed to be at for some reason, I could say, I'm not going to be here. Would someone volunteer? Or I could go to someone and say, would you take the minutes at this next meeting? I'm not going to be there. I can ask for help, but I don't have to be a victim. If someone says, nah, I'm not willing to do it, it isn't about me. It's where they are. But again, Al-Anon gave me the courage to do things that I never thought I could do. Speaking was one of those things. In the early days that I came to Al-Anon, we would stand and hold hands and say the closing prayer, and I would be so nervous trying to remember the words to the prayer that I would shake. But in Al-Anon, you taught me to lower my voice and to speak softly. And that by doing that, and especially in a conflict, that the louder you talked, the quieter I get. The faster you go, the slower I speak. And what happens in that situation that you helped me to understand is, it takes the fire out of the problem. And again, to remember when I've said what I need to say, stop talking. And so in terms of service, I went on to become a trustee at large and served on the board of trustees for 5.5 years. And then I was elected to be the executive director of Al-Anon. And I served at the World Service level as the executive director for 20 years. That still caused me to continue to grow and to stretch in every possible way, because when I would explain to somebody what the program suggested, if that wasn't their opinion, that would sometimes lead to controversy. And I had to learn to be able to let that go and not make it about me. And some of you know Karen R. from Arizona. And she said when she first met me, she thought that I was the devil incarnate. But part of it was because I would say things that were contrary to what she believed. And over the years, we've become really close friends. The point is that service helps me find new ways to grow. And I'm finding that now because after all those years, I'm back to being a group representative in my group. And we're going through the discussion about hybrid versus Zoom versus Alive. And we have people who have opinions on all sides. And I have an opinion, but because I'm the GR, the group representative, I don't give my opinion until it's time to vote. I let everyone else be heard, and I make sure that we're respectful with one another. And then I turn it over to the higher power, because that's the other part of self-support. And the other speakers mentioned it. Turning my will over to the care of a power greater than myself is the key to knowing how higher power sees me, how I can, in fact, blossom and grow. And that wasn't the way I saw the higher power when I came to Al-Anon. I thought it was judging me, and it wanted me to be a certain way. And I learned in Al-Anon that the higher power wants me just to be the best me that I can be today. And that's where service helps us, because it takes us out of I can't to I'll try. And really, that's the key for me in terms of self-support and using the program in all stages of my life. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Rick. I'm glad you could be here today. I'm glad all our speakers could be here. Let's give them all one more round of applause. And don't forget, send your questions to Flo Ann in the chat, and you can still do that. And so now I'm going to turn it over to our moderator for the questions and answers, Flo Ann.
Thanks, Maureen. Oh, wow. Those were some amazing talks, and I'm furiously typing because I'm getting a whole bunch of questions. So thank you for that. That is fantastic. I'll let you know who the question is for, or if it's open to everybody. And let's see. And keep your shares to about 2-3 minutes because I did get quite a few questions. And so I want to make sure we get them answered. And I asked a couple of people to speak, so I want to be able to fit them in somewhere. Elizabeth, you got you have a fan club out there. and they said various questions surrounding the receiving of criticism that you got. And the two main questions asked were, how did you walk through that and stick with service after fielding that? And did you have the impulse to resign at any moment during that event? And I'll pass it to you.
Yeah, wow. So I had the impulse to bash her in the head, so it was good that it was a phone call. In retrospect, I probably came through it with some grace, but at the time, it did not feel graceful. I did not have an impulse to stop doing the job because clearly she was wrong. I had carefully researched looking for all the loopholes, and I knew that I was doing what the job was supposed to be, and so she was wrong. So that helped me a lot with continuing, and beyond that, so there were many conversations with my sponsor, other members of the group. I wanted to, as angry and upset and hurt as I was, I did want to make sure that she wasn't right or that she didn't have a point, or was there something that I maybe could do differently or needed to do differently? You know, so I did talk to other people, not as gossip, just as how do you see what I'm doing? Do you feel like I'm filling the position? You know, just to kind of get the idea. She held a group conscious meeting on a night I wasn't there and tried to elect a new GR, and they told her no. So I had support from my group in it. And I think really it was just because I knew that I was doing the best that I could. And I have always heard that's what matters in Al-Anon service. I don't have to do it perfectly. I just have to do it and do what I can and do it to the best of my ability. So I hope that answered it.
Fantastic. Thank you. I got one. It's a little long, but it's a really good question. And this is open to any one of you. If we're all three, depends on let the spirit move you, if you will. It says, I'm fairly new to Al-Anon, and I came here in dire straits after being of service in another fellowship for over 25 years. I now realize how important being of service is to others. This may sound weird, but for the first time, I feel deep gratitude for myself for being of service and being there for all those who came hurt or broken year after year to the fellowship that I was being of service to. And I also now feel extreme gratitude to all the people in Al-Anon that are being of service now that I am hurting and in need of a judgment-free support. Do any of you or have any of you ever felt this way too? Let's go Rick, Susan, Elizabeth. And if you don't have anything to share, just say pass.
Well, yeah. I mean, anytime we do service, there's always that questioning yourself. Am I doing it right? Is there a reason? And especially when we get members who push back and say, well, we didn't do it that way before. Well, the fact that we didn't do it that way before doesn't mean that we can't do it that way now. It's just, and actually it says at the beginning of the concepts that any new idea can be tried as long as we label it as a trial. So sometimes when we're having these arguments, it's a good idea to say, well, do you want to try it? And if the group says, okay, well, we'll try it and put a time limit on it and evaluate it at the end. And that's what we're doing right now. We're doing hybrid meetings and we're looking at it at the end of every month to see, we want to go back to Zoom? Do we want to keep doing hybrid? Do we want to go live, totally live? So that's the thing. And, you know, I don't have the power, even though I would like to tell them how it should be. So you know, but I have to keep, and sometimes I have to call somebody and reason it out, because otherwise the Rick in my head is that crazy committee, and not a safe place to be. Thanks.
Susan, you got anything?
Yes, I was going to say, did you want me to comment too? I was listening so intently at the first part of the question and everything that this person had been through. What was the actual, at the very end, what was the actual question?
She said, do any of the speakers feel this way too?
Feel this way as far as not...
I think the last part of it is that she feels extreme gratitude, or he, I don't even remember who asked it, feel extreme gratitude to all the people in Al-Anon that are being of service now that they are hurting and in need of a judgment-free support.
Oh, gosh, yes. I'm in deep gratitude for everyone and everything that's been done. I'm amazed at this program. I mean, this program's been around for 70 years and nobody's in charge and there's no money. I mean, who does that? I mean, nobody can do that. It's just, I had such difficult trust issues when I first started. It's like, this can't be real. These people, they want something. They're just, it's all a facade. Wait till you go for a while and then you'll find out. And it took me a while to get both feet in, but this is such an incredible program. It's not perfect because we're not perfect. And there are going to be people. I'm amazed at the answer that Elizabeth gave, how she handled things. But that's okay, because there's a lot of more people in this program who stay in this program who are supportive and are encouraging us. I mean, this program is so, our anonymity and the things in this program gives us so much. I know how we say the world, needs the whole, too bad the rest of the world doesn't, run this way, but we do. I mean, here we are, here's the three of us here all sharing and you're all listening. And, we've got, I didn't think I'd be next to in my little Brady Bunch box next to the speaker at the speaker at the convention and all of the things that he has done and his example. I went back to my groups and I said, well, cream rises to the top in this program, because the higher I go up, the better quality I see of people and the humility. And I am forever, even more so now, grateful for everything about this program. So that I'll pass.
Thanks, Susan. Elizabeth?
I just want to add, I frequently have moments where I just think, I am so glad that I am not the people who started this, because I can't even imagine pulling, I mean, I can imagine and I can read about it. And I think that's the problem, is I can't imagine, pulling it together and getting Al-Anon sprung up spontaneously in a bunch of locations and unifying that and all of the work that went into that. And then our ability to just keep it going by having the same conversation every year with the same people, this is how the traditions work. No, you can't vote for two groups, whatever those conversations are that keeps it going. It's just sharing member to member. And I'm always just in awe of our founders.
Thanks. Great answers. Susan, you talked about one person running the show at a meeting. Do you have any suggestions on how to attract a meeting back to sharing the load?
You mean as far as, what was the last part about sharing?
Yeah, something along the lines of, you had talked about a meeting that was being dominated by one person, and asking if you have any suggestions on how to attract people back to sharing the load vice allowing the dominance to continue without being like, you're doing it wrong.
Yes. Well, one of the reasons I think that you find dominance in a group is because other people aren't participating. And that's the first thing you need to do. I mean, Al-Anon has set up our guidelines so well as far as how to run a meeting, the different service positions, and as far as you know, the group decides, you know, how we're going to function as a group. And if you go back to the service manual and everything in there, you know, yes, I have had experiences with that. I've had experiences with where we lost some people. We were having a problem with double winners, and, you know, it didn't matter how long, they kept talking. And so, and we had people that leave, but, you know, we were able to do that. We were able to change our opening as far as what, you know, focus on certain things and not this. And we were able to time, you know, use a timer for that. But I think if you put everything in, if you just use what's in the service manual, it's all in balance. And when it gets out of balance, it means the rest of the group, it needs to be stepping up and doing some things too. So does that help? I don't know.
Thank you for your answer, though. Rick, you said that Al-Anon taught you how to fight fairly and to shut down conflict by not talking. What happens if the person keeps poking you after you stop talking?
I just smile. I'm being serious. And if it goes on much longer, you taught me no was a complete answer. So I say, I have nothing further to say. I understand that's how you feel. So I don't try to convince them to do something differently, but I don't. There's a page in How Al-Anon Works, which I didn't realize was there because, you know, we read stuff and then we absorb it and then we forget where we learned it. So we think we had some brilliant idea. But it talks about not picking up the rope. And that's one of my favorite analogies because, you know, when we play tug of war as kids, everybody is pushing back and forth. But the answer is to drop the rope. Because if you drop the rope, you can't be pulled in any one particular direction. And that's really what I do when someone keeps pushing and pushing. I smile and let it go. Because at that point, I realize I'm not going to convince you. And maybe I'm not right. So if I stop resisting, I have a chance to look at it differently. Thanks.
Thanks, Rick. I've asked Federica from Italy to share a couple of minutes, if you're ready.
I hope my internet, I changed my internet, I hope will last. Hi, my name is Federica, a very grateful member of Al-Anon from Italy. Thank you so much for asking me. I had a very strange experience with the seventh tradition because when I was new, I think of the seventh tradition only about the money, but mm-hmm. I was not responsible about the money. And there was a newcomer and she asked our members in the group and she asked, but we are, Al-Anon is a serious fellowship. Where is the money? Where it goes the money? I want to know where is the money? My money, I put in the basket. And we told her, and not very kindly, we are a spiritual program. You worry about the money. After the meeting, we have to ask, make amends and say, you are right. You have to, do you want to be our treasurer in this group? And she agreed to be a treasurer. And we saw that the secretary at the moment was not so honest with the money. At the end, we have enough money to pay the rent, to pay instead to do extra seven tradition, you know? And I learned a lot. I wasn't self-supporting at all. Not physically, not with the money, more than this emotionally. I was very drawn when I arrived in Al-Anon. So through the service, I learned to ask for help, first of all. I asked for help for the service and no one rejected me. So I found the courage to ask for help for myself, to changing one service after another. When I am ready, I learn how to do a service. It's time to leave, but I learn to not to be afraid of changement, to change, to rotate. So even in my life, in my personal life, because, and I try, as someone else said, I try to the best of my ability. It's okay. Another experience I had in service at the very beginning was I want to help another service trustee servant. And so I go to the trustees and I said, no, this person he do this job is okay. And I received 3-4 mails of other trustee servant that told me, you overcome this person, you make feel down this person. I felt so worried and so I felt pity. Even if this email wasn't really very kindly or courteous, and I take the phone and I call and I apologize and make amends. In time, I recognize I was applying the principle of the program. I wasn't in my, I don't stay in my service position. And even if it was with the best intention, it was not my job to interfere with the service of another person. Thanks to COVID, for example, I learned to overcome my fear of technology, and I enter in this Zoom meeting and I learned so much. And I find again, Rick, for example, whom I met during my international service. And for me, it was really very important because Rick was one of the trusted servants in the WSO that give me this example of a person, an Al-Anon member who apply STEP tradition and concept. So a true an Al-Anon trusted servant. And you know, in Italy, we don't have such kind of process or this kind of person. So for me, it's very important. So, and my sponsor, for example, is not an Italian member because I don't find a sponsor in Italy, but my higher power sent me. And the service again was what let me, was a challenge because I was able to face for the first time, for example, one of the my worst defects of character, perfectionism. So I have to let go. And I thought I will do my service as a secretary, as a GR perfectly. And I make immediately a mistake because there was a broken anonymity. So I called directly the GSO in Italy and they told me, no, there are other service position that you have to call before to reach out. But they told me in a very gentle way. So I learned another lesson that we are not alone. And
Frederica, I hate to cut you short because you've got some great experience to share, but we got to move on and ask other questions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for participating. You've got a lot of great experience, strength, and hope. Fantastic stuff. But I do have a couple more questions I need to ask. So Elizabeth, you talked about not following rules that don't exist. Do you have any suggestions on how I identify when I'm attempting to follow self-inflicted rules?
Yeah, I call them clues, right? Self-inflicted rules typically make it really hard for me to do something. Or they make it very structured, or they make me extremely frustrated with the people around me who are not following that imaginary rule. And I recognize the frustration and then I go, maybe it's not a rule, you know, because maybe they're frustrated for a reason. Maybe I'm stepping on their toes because I have it wrong. It has pulled in. It used to be I only recognized it that way, and it's pulled in some since then where I can recognize just I'm getting frustrated. I must be trying to control or following a rule that doesn't exist. So.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Susan, okay, I've got two of them here for you. So which one do I want to do first? Oh, you said that, I love this one. You said that for every position you took, you felt like you were in over your head. So why did you volunteer if you felt unqualified?
What a great question. That's very that's a very logical question. Well, I guess maybe there's more to it than just saying I was in over my head. When I would look at the positions, first of all, when something would open up, I didn't do the one thing that I hated. Like I don't ever want to be a treasurer. I don't like dealing with money. So I made sure it was something that I was attracted to or that I enjoyed doing. So I guess I should say that. And then when I would get in it, mainly the reason that I was in over my head was because of those unwritten rules. Because all of my unwritten rules, all my committees started, you should, would be better this way, you should do that. And so part of the reason I was in over my head wasn't reality, it was my perception. It was my perception of what was going on. And that's where the service helps. You know, it helps in our recovery, and it helps because it's a disease of perception. It changes, our perception changes when we come into Al-Anon. So a lot of it yes, it was true. You know, I was in over my head, but I enjoyed it. It was always something I was attracted to in the first place. So thanks.
Good stuff. Thank you. Rick, my question for you is, what is your opinion on hybrid meetings? Do they abide by the traditions and the concepts? Some members I have heard feel that they break anonymity and do not want to be a part of them. What's your personal opinion?
I didn't hear the very first part. What type of meetings?
Hybrid meetings.
Oh, hybrid meetings. Well, hybrid has nothing to do with breaking anonymity. We're still only using our first names. We're not identifying ourselves as authorities, and people can come from anywhere in the world and attend the meeting. And no one's going to know who you are. But the idea that I think is somewhat confusing is when it's time to vote, if it's a group conscience, only the members of the group vote, and you only vote, as Elizabeth said, you only vote once. You don't vote in every group that you attend. So you have to figure out what group is it that is your primary group, and that's the one you vote in. You can give your opinion in other groups, but you only vote in one group. And the reason for that is that we believe in group conscience, and trying to bring everybody, making everybody to do it your way in every place that you go is about you and not about the program. And one of the things that I like is using the phrase ego is the short term for easing God out. So when it's so important for me to tell you how you have to do it, that's about Rick. That's not about God. Thanks.
Thank you, Rick. And we got, 2 minutes left. I know I asked other people to share their experience, strength, and hope, and unfortunately, we've kind of run out of time to be able to do that. But I am going to turn it back over to Maureen, who's going to close us out. Thanks, guys. You guys did a great job.
Okay. Let's see. Thank you so much, Flo Ann, and thank you again to the speakers. So you all did a great job, and we had some great questions too. So let's go ahead and give them all one more round of applause with the American Sign Language clap. And thank you all for coming and attending today. So this was our last workshop session for the Turbocharger Recovery, and the committee for the workshop would like to thank all of you for this amazing experience. And through the unexpected and unexpected all the stuff that happened, we are all coming through this with a better understanding of the importance of service in Al-Anon recovery. So we have learned a lot of things in our committee, reasoning things out with others, utilizing the traditions and the concepts to play nicely in the sandbox, and how to lean into uncomfortable conversations instead of running away. That's my MO. We have more self-confidence and more ways of practicing detachment and learning it's not all about us. I know I got really tired of Flo Ann telling me, it's up to you, it's up to you. But I was so glad for the experience and so happy that I joined the committee. So thank you for being a part of our final Turbocharger Recovery Workshop. And we'll now close with the Al-Anon Declaration. If you'd like to unmute and join me, that'd be fine. And then we can have a few minutes of fellowship afterwards if you'd like. Let it begin with me. When anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help, let the hand of Al-Anon and the Al-Anon team always be there. And let it begin with me.